Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Gracious God, how we do thank you, and thank you that you do help us in our unbelief. When we think about you and your wisdom and your power, your holiness, just you being who you are, we stand in wonder that you put up with us. We thank you for doing so. Sometimes our heart really does melt in great appreciation for your love and mercy and patience and long-suffering toward us. Too often we try to give you thanks for all of that, just as out of the head alone and not so much the heart. We do thank you, our God, that someday we will be with you in the resurrected body, a sinless mind, a sinless soul, a sinless spirit, a sinless body. And oh, how greater our service will be to you. We long for the day, our God, but pray that you would keep us until the appointed hour, and that we might have the very spirit of the Apostle Paul when he said, while to die is gain, to live is Christ. Sometimes we're in the valley of decision, wondering which to take. May we be reconciled to your will, and may we serve you with all fullness here below. Thank you for the opportunity of meeting together and worshiping thy darling Son as we try to get a better appreciation of those last few moments of our Redeemer's life while here on this earth. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Again, it may be or seem somewhat technical this afternoon, and I want to try to make it as easy as possible, and I really don't know how to do that, other than just to try to go over the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacle. Those are the seven feasts of that the Lord gave to the Jews. The first three, unleavened bread, Passover, and first fruits, or we might say Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Anyway, those three took place on the first calendar month of the Jewish calendar, and that was called Nisan. N-I-S-A-N. 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits was Pentecost. Penta, you see the five in that. Pentecost. And then in the 10th calendar month, it was called Tishri. T-I-S-H-R-I. There were three other feasts. That was Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles. Now, I want us to look at that, and I would just basically mention the last four feasts. Just for familiarity. Since Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits took place during this time that we're studying and going on into the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you saw this morning from Luke chapter 24, the first day of the week, our Lord, when He was resurrected, showing the importance of that being third day since these things were done, why we would designate it as being Thursday. Just to muddy the water a little bit, we won't look at it. We won't look at all the different verses. You'd have to study all the four Gospels again and look at them somewhat in detail. But it appears that our Lord was already out of the grave when the morning broke on the first day of the week. How long before daylight came, we don't know. Anyway, that's another subject matter that has differences of opinions. And sometimes it's hard to grasp all of that. You know, sometimes when we preachers are preaching on various things and we may not stop to enlarge on some of those details, and you do a cursory reading, you just easy to miss some of those finer points of. But anyway, the Lord still keeps us in the dark with a great deal of that. In Leviticus chapter 23, this whole chapter, basically gives an overview of all of the different feasts. And you find that, let's just begin reading. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I will say this, by the way, you would have to study Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, all to get some other details about these feasts. So this is not exhaustive in this. This is kind of an overview. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Unto the Lord 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Now it sounds like that the Passover starts on the 14th. But the Passover is actually eaten on the 15th. 14th is the preparation day. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Hold your finger in Leviticus 23. Well, ideally we would read chapter 12, but I'm not going to do that. Look at verse 18. Exodus 12:18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. Now, from what we read in Leviticus, you would think that you didn't start eating unleavened bread until the 15th. But you actually do start on the 14th and getting things ready and everything. But anyway, I'm still not finding the exact verse that I wanted. But anyway, that's when they started on the 14th. They got everything ready. And then on the 15th, I was thinking the word the 15th was actually designated or stated in Genesis 12, but if you Exodus 12, but he does say at the second verse, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months," Exodus 12:2. So this is the beginning of months, and that they were to. On the 10th day of the month, I'll go ahead and read this now and get this out of the way. Verse 3, "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And they take the lamb," I'm not going to read all of this, "they put it up, lamb of the first year," and verse 6, "And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." In other words, they take it, they kill it at the end of the day, and then they take the blood and they put it on the doorpost and the sides and the upper porch and all of that, and then they eat it that night, which would be on the 15th. Does that make sense? Okay, so, and then he tells about the Feast of, now back in Leviticus 23. Verse 5, "In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." See, it even shows here the Passover begins on the 14th. "And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall ye bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to it be accepted for you on the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, drop down to verse 15. He takes up the Feast of Pentecost. Then you drop down to the verse 23. And then you have the Feast of Trumpets. That's on the first day of the month of Tishrei. And then in verse 26, on the 10th day of Tishrei, you have the Feast of Atonement. And then on Tishrei 15 to 21, for 7 days, you have the Feast of Tabernacles. That starts up in Leviticus 23:33. Now, let's try to get a picture here again. We said this morning. I've got more verses here, but I'll try not to weigh you down. Let's get a picture here. On the 10th day of the first month, they shut up a lamb to inspect that lamb for 4 days before they kill it. Without a lot of detail, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, that was on the 10th day of the month, the day they shut up the lamb to be inspected. He went into Jerusalem. He looked around the temple. He left and went to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany and spent the night. The next day he comes back into Jerusalem, cleanses the temple, and curses the fig tree. Goes back to Bethany. The next day he comes back into Jerusalem. The fig tree is cursed. He goes back to Bethany and comes back to Jerusalem. In other words, he goes into Jerusalem on the 10th and he is inspected each day by the people. Our Lord is fulfilling the Jewish feast to a jot and a tittle. As we see there, the lamb is slain on the 14th. Our Lord died on the 14th. The Passover eaten on the 15th. The Lord was our Passover. Normally on the 16th, the day after that Sabbath, was the Feast of First Fruits. But since that was Friday, that our Lord was killed. No, that our Thursday was killed. Let me get this. Let me keep it straight in my mind. Thursday was the preparation for the Passover. On Friday, the lamb was killed on Thursday. The Passover on Friday, but Friday was a preparation day for the seventh day Sabbath. So the Jews had to prepare for two Sabbaths. And so since the 16th was going to fall on a preparation day, no, the 16th would have fallen on the seventh day. They had to move the first day of the feast of first fruits to the first day of the week. Christ rose on the first day of the week. The feast of first fruits is when they began to harvest. They would go out into the field. Let's say they were going out in a barley field, and they get some barley. They come back and they would offer that as the feast of first fruits. 50 days later was Pentecost. That's when first fruits was ended. That was the ending of the harvest. I mean, the harvest was ended. 1 Corinthians 15:20 tells us that Jesus Christ was our first fruits. He was the first fruits of them that slept. When Pentecost came, this is the completion of the harvest. And when our Lord returns, when the trumpet is blown, the Feast of Trumpets, and the tabernacle of God come down from God out of heaven. I hope you just get, I'm just kind of giving a chalk outline of those feasts and our Lord fulfilling those feasts to a jot and a tittle. Four days before the Lamb was slain, on the 10th of Nisan, Christ rode into Jerusalem. Let's look at that somewhat. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is the chapter, obviously, prior to what we're studying. Sometimes a lot goes into studying a passage, doesn't it? In order to try to get a fuller picture. John 12, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there Martha served. Mary anointed him with spikenard. And Judas didn't like it. And so on. And so we leave that. That was 6 days before the Passover. Verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now follow me just a moment. 6 days before he went to Mary Martha's house and Lazarus, the next day would be 5th day before the Passover. Or the 4th day before the preparation day, or the day he was killed. You following me again? So he's killed on the preparation day. The lamb was shut up for 4 days to be inspected and then killed and eaten that night. Jesus went into Jerusalem 10 days before. And then he is inspected to be killed on the 14th. And you can read about our Lord riding into Jerusalem, not only here, but I'll give you the passages if you want to study it at home in order to keep from being so tedious here. Mark 11, 1 through 11. Luke 19, 28 through 44. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. So you can see that the lamb was slain on the afternoon or the evening of the 14th to be eaten at 6 o'clock or after to be on the 15th. And therefore, Jesus was on the cross on the preparation day, which is the 14th. We've already seen that. The supper in John 13:2 was a supper, likely from that of the preparation day and not the Passover nor the Lord's Supper, according to John 13:11 through 30 that we've already seen earlier this morning, and compare that with the synopsis, the synoptic gospels. Now, I did all of this to try to show that there are many, many, many verses of Scripture to indicate as to why Jesus did not eat the Passover. And many, many commentators, when they read John 13 at the beginning of it, they say this is the Passover. And when all four Gospels say He was on the cross the day the Lamb was slain. And the Jews didn't want to go into Pilate's judgment hall so they could eat the Passover. Of course, there's one view that says, well, the Jews were eating the Passover at the wrong time and Christ was actually eating it at the right time. That's how they get around all of that. So I have gone at great lengths to try to give a setting of the background of where we are in John 13. And why verse 2, and supper being ended, it is not talking about the Passover, nor is it talking about the Lord's Supper, but it was one of those feasts that were involved in that whole week of unleavened bread, Passover, and then afterward the Feast of First Fruits. And so, can you, common sense, I know this is not Scripture, but this is common sense, and you can take it or leave it for whatever it's worth. But knowing the meticulousness, and I use this word meticulousness in a good sense, of our Lord in things being done right. And the Jews are supposed to have a feast here for 7 days of unleavened bread, and there not to be any leaven in the house. Can you imagine what's going to be taking place days ahead of time? Spring cleaning like you've never seen it before. They wanted to make sure they didn't have any leaven in that house. They were cleaning, they were preparing, they were getting ready for this. And therefore, having meals of all sort, the Lord sent Peter and John to get them ready for this time of the Passover. Though He was not going to technically eat the Passover, He desired to. And He says, I won't eat again with you until we sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I think that's yet to come. So I've tried to give a background historically as well as what I think took place and was taking place this night of the Lord's Supper and the washing of the saints' feet, primarily. So as stated above, this is before the Passover feast, the night before the preparation day, the day Jesus was crucified, that is Thursday, the 14th of Nisan. Now we're going to begin to look at John 13. It's taken us four sermons in a part to get here. But I believe it's well worth it. And if you ever hear somebody talk about Maundy Tuesday, you'll know what they're talking. Maundy Thursday, you'll know what they're talking about. And you hear some of the other things, and people have given different reasons and their objections. You'll know maybe some of the answers for that. And we'll look at some of this possibly again as we continue on. Let's read verses 1 through 3 of John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, I'll go ahead and read verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. The hour was come. Let us bear in mind that chapters 13 through to chapter 18, verse 28, was during this night. This is prior to him being taken in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because what took place there in that room that night in chapter 13, and our Lord talking to the disciples there in 13, 14, 15, 16, and then in chapter 17 is his high priestly prayer. And then in chapter 18, they go out of the room, cross the Kidron Valley, into the Garden of Gethsemane. Many hundred years prior to this, King David left Jerusalem and crossed the Kidron Valley to escape Absalom. Our David is crossing the Kidron Valley to face death for us. His hour had come. His hour had come. I said that was prior to 1828 was not prior to, it included Gethsemane. But anyway, my point is that here is no doubt less than 12 hours before our Lord would be crucified. Just a few hours. Just a short time. I would not have any problem of guessing, you know, sitting down to eat and eating a meal and some things. It might be 7 or 8 o'clock, maybe as late as 9 o'clock now. And remember, during this same night, his disciples were wondering who should be the chief. It wasn't just this little last-minute instructions. It was last-minute instructions, but it was a heavy heart on our Lord. He would be taken in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, let's just turn there for just... Let's turn to John 18. We'll try to get a little bit more that what's going to be ahead of the Lord. He knows this. He knows what's coming. Verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron here, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Now we know from Matthew what took place there. It appears 3 hours of praying. If you read in the Synoptic Gospels, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And in Luke's account, it says, his sweat was as it were great drops of blood, and being in an agony, he prayed the more earnestly. And angels came to strengthen him. What a sight that must have been. What great wrestlings. Hebrews said he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And it also talks about, well, I can't quote it, I can almost quote it. Let me see if I can find it in Hebrews right quick of our Lord. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He's talking about our Lord. His hour was come. Verse 3, John 18. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that he should come up, that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Now notice that. I know we're looking at what happened afterward, but it's talking about his hour. Notice what that verse said. Jesus, knowing what was going to happen, he walks out to them and said, Who are you looking for? He knows. He knows. Our Lord was anticipating this. His hour was come. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said, I am he, I am. And when he had said unto them, I am. They went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I've told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus said unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now notice, all of this is taking place still at nighttime. We haven't come to the sixth hour yet. That's in John 19. He sent to Caiaphas. Then he sent to the judgment hall of Pilate. Then before Pilate, Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. And all of that, and then he's condemned by 6 a.m., John 19:14. This is the hour that had come. Back in John 13, it says, When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And then in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. He knew there was time for him to go. Previously, many tried to do away with him, but it wasn't his hour. Now I want us to look at that, but we'll wait till next week, Lord willing, because we wouldn't get through with it if we started here. But I want to try to here get the scenery, get the setting again. His hour was come. He came on time. He left on time. And beloved, He's coming back on time. And when you get a glimpse of this, you'll see that our Lord, in washing the disciples' feet, it was something of necessity that needed to be done, naturally, or He would not have done it. But it wasn't just a happenstance. It was preparing the disciples for Him leaving. It was preparing them for being the disciples that they should be, to show love one to another. And by looking at this in its context, you can see that it fits. It's not just something Jesus did, and we don't have any reason why, and it's just something, you know, just, why would He do that? It fits. It fits. And I think it is still fitting that it should be done today. Hopefully we'll get to that, Lord willing, if He tarries and I don't depart before we get to it. But anyway, I hope the stage is set somewhat for us to look at the passage, though we'll do a little bit more setting of the stage with regard to our Lord in His hour. Let's pray. My Father, I thank You that You are a God of schedule. I thank You that You work on purpose. The sun rises and sets on purpose. The moon is in its orbit. The stars, the galaxies, the whatever else there are out there, they're put in their place. You setteth up kings and You take kings off the throne. You appoint the bounds of the habitations of the nations. You make the dumb, You make the deaf. As You told Moses when He said that he was slow of speech. Our Lord came at the appointed hour. Now it is the appointed hour for Him to depart, as we're studying in this passage. And though no man knows the day nor the hour in which You have appointed, our Lord will come back on time. He won't be a day late. We know not how trifling the world may become before He does return. Our prayer is, as with John's on the Isle of Patmos, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We can even cry with the Apostle Paul, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. May we be able to say with Paul, as long as we're here, it's more needful that we stay here. And to live is Christ. Thank you for reminding us of a few things about you as we have studied this passage or are studying the passage. Help me in trying to make things clearer that I do not complicate the matter. What may be clear in my mind and what comes out of my mouth, my Father, I know sometimes are not what the people comprehend. We need you in all things. And where I'm wrong, show me that myself. But let us never forget our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth and died for our sins. And may we ever worship Him and adore Him, for it is in His name we pray. Amen.